This is Isaac of Nineveh, back again with another edition of Hot Wind from the Desert. I'm continuing with the second in the series on a teaching that I did here in my home for some people visiting. I hope you enjoy it.
The second part about moving into power, the key to doing the things that Jesus did, or doing the stuff as they say in this nomenclature, is to hear the Father, hear God, what He's doing. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. And so this is our goal, is to do what we see the Father doing. And I'll tell you about how do you see what the Father's doing. But now I want to talk about how do you hear what the Father's doing. How many of you hear God regularly? Do you feel like you have a pretty good hearing kind of thing going on? I did too. I mean, I had calling and I felt like I heard God, but my concept of hearing from God was like, okay, I had some random coincidences, you know, in this past week, and this scripture just was really jumped off the page at me, and you know, and these kinds of hearing from God was something that happened not very regularly, and it happened, you know, very sporadically and for a short period of time, and only for major decisions in my life. It wasn't like I lived in constant communication with God. Obviously, Jesus did. He said, I only do what I see the Father doing. And so everything he did, he had already seen what heaven was doing, what the Father was doing in that situation. So in my older paradigm, all I did was, okay, if I had a major decision or whatever, I'd pray and then look for signs or something like this. I didn't really receive heart-to-heart communication from God on a daily or even weekly basis. It was more like a monthly kind of thing. And so we pushed our way through the process to becoming workers in this part of the world and other parts of the world and stuff. And basically it was all predicated upon this view of, okay, I think I heard God, you know. And it was only for hearing God for only major decisions. So there is a place you can get to where, like Jesus, you can see what the Father's doing, you can hear what He's saying, and then you speak that. And that is the place that I believe God is taking us now. That's what He's releasing on the earth now. That's where He's taking all of us now. He doesn't want people who are only going to say, okay, give me my destiny, my calling, and then leave me alone. He wants somebody that's going to listen to Him like 24/7, right? And so the major key is learning how to hear from God. And most people don't understand that God's voice is often like spontaneous thoughts in your head. Most of the best superheroes and most of the, you know, on TV or whatever, they have telepathy, right? Because that's the best form of communication if you're going to be a superhero. You might as well have telepathy. That way, you know, nobody can intercept it. But the spiritual world works in telepathy all the time. The demonic and the Holy Spirit works in telepathic ways. You know, Jesus says, knowing their hearts. Jesus said this to the Pharisee, knowing their hearts. Then He was communicating from the Spirit with the Holy Spirit because He's anointed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was detecting what was in their spirit and telling Him. That's how He knew it. It was a supernatural, spiritual thing. It wasn't that He looked at their faces and they looked kind of upset and He was like, oh, they're upset because I said... No, He knew exactly what was in their hearts because the Holy Spirit told Him. Not this kind of generic, psychological, you know, psychic, cold reading. They're kind of... Their arms are... Body language must mean they're upset. No, He knew because the Holy Spirit told Him. So once you realize that God's thoughts, God's voice is oftentimes spontaneous thoughts in your head, and you start steering your way towards those, and you start listening to those. I'm not talking about voices in your head to go to the post office with a gun or something. Once you start tuning into that, and I'll tell you how to do it from this guy that I've been studying a long time. And once you do that, then you start to receive more and more revelation, right? And it will begin slowly. It will begin like you're in your room, and you'll try it, and you know, maybe it'll work, maybe it won't, something like that. And then as you go, you'll be able to do it more and more as you go. Because this is the goal, is to get to the point where Jesus is, where He only did what He saw the Father doing, only said what He heard the Father saying. Can you imagine how many fewer sermons there would be if people only said what they heard the Father saying? And can you imagine how much more impact that would have? Instead of, okay, well, you know, I did this sermon 7 years ago, nobody's seen it, I'm going to do it again, let's do it today. I mean, what if somebody walked into the church and they had no notes, they had no books, no papers, no Bible, nothing. They put the word in their heart. They stood on the platform. And they just started telling people their destinies and their lives and just what God was doing in their lives and just, you know, just saying stuff like this. That would, I think, have a bigger impact on the congregation than let's go to Romans chapter 6. Talk about predestination in the next 30 minutes. I don't call me crazy. What do you think? You know, it's very funny that Jesus never repeats any parables. You ever notice that? Well, he doesn't repeat a single one.
The thing that you make me think of is I mean, if I asked you guys, would you want to go to a church where the pastor said, you know, when I come on Sunday, I pretty much preach on whatever I feel like it? Or do you want to go to a church where the pastor says, the Lord gave me this message to bring to you? You know, or you want a guy who's like, the Lord gave me this message, not this is my best guess at what, you know, I should bring on a given Sunday. So it's like even people who aren't like focused on this stuff, they have the concept, you know, but they're not necessarily operating at the level we're talking about.
Yeah. And I feel like what I'm even saying now, and because, you know, I have no notes, I have no book, I have nothing, it's coming out of my heart, which, according to the Bible, I've been given a new heart. I have the mind of Christ. I feel like it's coming from something deeper than just myself, because there's no way I could just put all this together. This is not how I teach English. It's coming together. I prayed the Lord. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, God, please help me. Give me words to say something like this. And then, you know, they'll say it, and then they go home, and they're like, oh, you know, I did it all wrong. It's like, did God answer your prayer or not? And typically, He does, I think. Call me crazy, but according to the Bible, especially when you're like praying for the kingdom or you're praying to impact people's lives or to share God's love, are these not prayers God wants to answer? But then we sit around like, oh, I don't think God really answered me. I don't know. You say, okay, Lord, please, I just want to hear from you. I just want to hear your voice. You know, and you start maybe seeing a picture in your imagination of a kid on a swing set, and you're like, oh, no, I can't think about that. I want to hear your voice, God, please, tell me. And then, like, the word, you know, you start hearing scripture in your mind. You're like, I want to hear your voice, Lord, please. There's stuff.
You mean where we were a few years ago?
Yeah, it's like, I'm talking to you, and you're not listening. You're too busy trying to pray and pull heaven down or whatever. It's like, I'm talking to you here. So, and that's the other thing. You have to believe that prayer works, and that prayer actually affects God. Again, if you have this idea of God as like the unmoved mover that's never touched or changed by anything, by our emotions, by our prayers, or you're not going to pray to Him, why would you pray to Him? He's not going to do anything. Or that He has a master blueprint for every detail and everything in the entire world, and your prayer doesn't mean anything at all. It doesn't change His mind. It doesn't change anything. All it does is changes you. You heard this. Prayer doesn't change God. It changes you. Well, I don't know how they got that out of the Bible, because it says Abraham asked God. God changes His mind. Moses is, you know, God is getting ready to destroy the Israelites. He says, please don't do that, please. God changes His mind. He's going to destroy the Ninevites. God changes His mind. I mean, there's like 50, 60 places where God changes His mind. And yet we're like, oh, you know, God doesn't change. He doesn't. Yeah, He doesn't change in His love or His faithfulness. But He does change in response to His people. If you had a friend that never changed, and you asked him and you did something, he never bothered to change, you would say that was a mutated relationship. You say, that's flictated. That guy is not normal. He never changes. All he does, every time I ask him to do something, he never does it. He just does what he's going to. We would say that is a very low friendship, wouldn't you? Surely God is a lot better than the lowest friendship. Don't you think?
Yeah.
I think so. Jesus said, I no longer call you disciples or servants. I call you friends. Because that's the relationship that He's bringing us into, where He shares His heart with us. He said, okay, here's the game plan that I have. What do you see inside this game plan? What do you like? What's on your heart? Tell me. I believe He's limited Himself. He doesn't just go around reading our hearts all the time. He wants us to tell Him, because that's what a relationship is, not, oh, I already know everything. You, Kendall, I already know everything, so you don't have to talk to me. I already know everything you said. You don't have to talk to me anymore. We don't have to hang out or anything. I already know everything. It says in Exodus that God led them through the wilderness for 40 years to test to see what was in their hearts. If He already knew what was in their hearts, why did He lead them through the wilderness for 40 years? Because He somehow limited Himself just so He could see what would come out when that happened in the place. If He knew Abraham was going to automatically do it, like, go ahead and kill Isaac, right? Why did He test Him? It makes everything in the Bible, if you have this paradigm, it makes most of the things in the Bible completely wrong or false. You know, He doesn't change His mind. He doesn't answer prayer. It says in James, the effect of fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Why do I have King James in my head? I don't know. But it avails much. If you say God doesn't really change in response to our prayers, or our prayers only change us, then why, when Elijah prayed, did it not rain? I thought he was the one that was supposed to be changed by prayer. Hello. That doesn't make any sense. But he prayed and it didn't rain. Elijah, you've got to be changed inwardly from your prayer. It doesn't really change you. It doesn't change the world. It doesn't change anything. So
that's how you prayed at that time.
Oh, yeah, because God had foreordained from the beginning of the world for him to pray at that point, because he's planning not to bring any rain anyway. I mean, the mental gymnastics you have to do to get around that, just say, you know what? he prayed, God changed his mind, did it. That seems to be more simple and logical. And, well, you know. Alright, so.
God and these are prayers. Ways we used to believe. These are things we used to think.
This is 6-7 years of processed thought, right? I'm getting a lot of stuff in here.